Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
The lesson for tonight is entitled, Christians Make Better Lovers. And with regard to the matter, I believe that we need to define exactly what it is that we're going to talk about tonight. To begin with, I believe that it is important for me to point out is that in the world of which we live, man has corrupted the meaning of the term lover. For instance, in our world, many of us, my age and older, Joel, you fall into that category a little bit. With regard to the matter of lovers, we remember seeing bumper stickers that is popularizing the thoughts of the day, especially back whenever I was younger, where that truck drivers make better lovers, where cowboys make better lovers. And in that, what they have attempted to do, and they've done that from a world standpoint, is that they have sexualized the term lover. However, from a historical standpoint, whenever we go back to the original definition of what a lover is, it literally means one who loves. And whenever we think of it from that standpoint, from the way in which it is given in Scripture, and whenever I say from an original standpoint, you can find that definition in the dictionary, but I believe that you find it first and foremost in the Bible. The Bible says concerning God that God is love. And therefore, whenever we think with regard to the greatest lover of all, it is our God. And God teaches us really what love is, and that we are to follow according to this same standard. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? I believe that God expects Christians to be the greatest lovers of all from a biblical standpoint. According to what we find in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, we are to walk in love. Well, what does it mean that we are to walk in love? It means that love is to characterize our lives. It means that everywhere we go, every thing that we say, every person that we come in contact with, we are to demonstrate godly love towards them. And therefore, we are a lover of people as well as we are then a lover of our God. Tonight, I believe that Jesus Christ is the greatest lover of all times. How much so? In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He, meaning the Father, sent His Son into the world, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This statement there in John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us about our Heavenly Father's love, does it not? So we know that our Heavenly Father is indeed a lover, and I believe also we could throw Him in that same category and say, I don't know of any other Father who would love any greater than what our Heavenly Father loves us and the fact that He sent His Son into this world. But He's not alone in that. We know that Jesus Christ our Lord, He came personally, and it is within Himself that He sacrificially gave Himself out of love for us to die a cruel and undeserving death on Calvary's cross. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through verse 9, Paul said it this way, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commends or demonstrates His love in that toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. So therefore, if we want to know what God is saying about us being the greatest lovers in this world of which we are a part of, shining as a light to mankind and loving mankind in hopes of bringing them to Jesus, we've got to turn to Jesus for our answers. That which was read for our hearing just a few moments ago from the context of John chapter 15, verses 12 through verse 17, is where we're drawing our lesson for tonight, that we are to be better lovers than what we find in the world today. And as we think about this, to begin with, I believe it is important for us to see that this is a command that is repeated. In verse 12, He says, this is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you go down to verse 17, He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. He says a lot in between those verses, but He begins it by saying, this is a commandment, that you love one another, and then He finishes it off and saying, these are my commandments, that you love one another. And what he's saying is that everything that has been said between these two verses is indeed important, but at the same time, if you don't love one another, then everything else that you try to accomplish in this, in reality, it's not going to be fruitful in the sight of our God. In this context here, it's not the first time that Jesus has said this unto His disciples. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and verse 35, these same things are also said. And note what He says here. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, He has expressed this already to the disciples, and now He is repeating it. And why would He do so? I believe in part because of emphasis' sake. He's wanting His disciples then, as well as Christians throughout every age, even of which we are part of today, to understand the seriousness and the significance of love. And it's not only stated by Jesus and repeated by Jesus, we find time and time again where that God emphasizes that we are to love one another. Take into consideration what the Apostle Paul wrote to those at Rome. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Brotherly love is phileo love. We are to love one another with an agape love, which is a sacrificial love. But phileo love is a brotherly love, where that we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, because of the fact that we are in the family of God. And therefore, the Apostle Paul is urging those at Rome, as well as it's applicable for us today, is that we are to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And affectionate means is that we express ourselves in love, as well as it means as we deal with each other continually in a loving fashion. And friends, tonight I believe that it's also important for us to point out is that people take note as to how or if we love one another. The world that we live in, they're constantly looking at us and measuring whether or not we measure up to the type of life that we are supposed to live. And while they don't know all the ins and outs to what the Bible teaches a Christian is to be, they know that we are not to be like they are in the world, where that their lives are centered in and around worldliness, sin. Our lives cannot be like that. But not only do they look and see if we're doing what they're doing, they also listen to and they observe as to the way in which we talk about one another and the ways in which we treat one another. This is brought out in the words of Jesus in John chapter 13 and verse 15. He says, by this all will know that you are my disciples. Know what he says? If you love one another. What's the word if mean? I believe that he's identifying is that it's possible that brethren would not love one another. And as a result of that, they would shine as a negative to the world. And the world then would say, well, you're not his disciples, because in reality, if you were his disciples, there would be this true, genuine love there. So God is identifying for us is that people do take note of who we are, who we claim to be, as well as the type of relationship that we have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. For friends, also, I believe that it is imperative for us to point out tonight is that we have in this context of John chapter 15, verses 12 through verse 17, a command that is elevated. Jesus raised the bar on what qualifies as true biblical love. The passage that we read a few moments ago in John chapter 13 and verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. I remember studying with an individual some years ago about the way in which we are to love God and the way in which we are to love one another. And whenever they read that in John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, they said, it's new? that Christians are supposed to love one another? And friends, it's nothing new in the sense that this is the first time that God is saying we're to love one another, but it's new in essence, in the elevation of the type of love that we are to have. In the context of John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he says that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's also what he is saying here in this context. He's saying that the love that we have for one another must be equal to the type of love that he has for us. In all of this, I believe that it is essential for me to say tonight is that we've got to be careful, very careful, whenever it comes to measuring ourselves beside others. This I want to apply to our lesson tonight in regard to our loving one another. But it's also that way whenever it comes to everything. When it comes to our attendance of worship services, we can't say, well, I attend more than that person attends, so therefore that makes me better than God. Attendance is most important. And I believe that God holds us accountable if we miss and could have and should have been there. But at the same time, we shouldn't measure ourselves by what someone else is doing or not doing. We've got to measure ourselves by Christ, and we've got to measure ourselves by the Scripture. And knowing that we will be accountable to God individually whenever we stand before Him in judgment. And in regard to the matter here, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." And I understand the context of what's going on there, but contextually tonight, if an individual says, "Well, I'm a better person than this person or than that person," or "I'm better at expressing my love or showing my love than what this person, my brother in Christ over here is, or this sister in Christ is," God doesn't say, "Listen, Kevin, you need to love as what Ronnie loves," or "Kevin, you need to love as what Todd loves," or "what Tommy loves." He doesn't say that. What he says very directly is he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And therefore, he sets the bar, the highest of which it would ever be able to set. And therefore, we are to constantly engage with ourselves and say, am I doing all that I can possibly do to meet that? You see, when it comes to Jesus, Jesus not only teaches us about the importance of love, but He also practices this Himself. How so? In John chapter 15 and verse 13, He says, "Greater loveth no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends." Friends, not only did He come to express the love of God, and we see that, I believe, time and time again in and through the life and teachings of Jesus as we are studying on Wednesday night. But we also see it in the life of Jesus. Whenever Jesus was going about here in this world, we find is that He constantly, as we've seen on Wednesday nights in our study, He had compassion towards one another. And what is that compassion connected with? It's connected with love, is it not? And it was because of His love for mankind that Jesus went about doing good. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Every angle of this man's life, of our Savior's life, centered in and around doing good for people because of the fact that He loves mankind. He loves every soul. And then in the greatest way of all, we know that He practiced love in giving His life on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And therefore, as we think about the elevation of this type of love that we must have for each other, we must love each other with true Christ's likeness. We talk about Christ's likeness a lot. And a lot of times whenever we're talking about Christ's likeness, we're saying that we need to do what we can, everything that is in our power to do, to not go near sin. And that's true. But tonight I believe that it's important for us to realize the way that this applies to our love as well. We must love as He loved us. We must love God. We must love our fellow man. We must love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ as He loved us. So therefore, we want to illustrate what it is that we find in regard to this command. Loving one another as Jesus loves requires sacrifice. It means that it's going to cost us something. If I'm understanding contextually what's going on here, is that we can't just say that we love each other. We can't just embrace and say, I love you, or show kindly affection inside the building and then live contrary to that outside. We've always got to be engaged to that very end and going above and beyond, because that's what our Lord did He not? He went above and beyond, demonstrating in the ultimate way by dying because of the love that He has for us. And now we look and we apply that to us. What are things that we can say about and to one another? What are ways that we can act with and towards one another that would show that we really and truly love one another, that would show that we're sacrificing in order to come forth, that we really and truly love each other to the level of which God loves us and demonstrates that love through Jesus Christ our Lord. For friends, also, as we think about illustrating this commandment, loving one another as Jesus loves involves intimacy. And whenever you look at the context of John chapter 13, verses 14 and verse 15, Jesus identifies, He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. And that's where He goes on in regard to this context. Having said, He says, greater love hath no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. He doesn't say that a man lay down his life for his servants. He could have said that because they were His servants. But rather, He takes it to another level even within this, and He says, I don't look at you as servants, but He says, I classify you as my friends. And then, friends, note what He says in verse John 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command unto you. Are we as intimate as what we ought to be towards one another in regard to the love that we are commanded to have towards one another? And when we think about intimacy, I know what the world tries to project with that, and that's not at all where I'm going. But it's where that we are emotionally connected with one another, to where that we do love in more than just word, but we love in deed. And we have this genuineness within us that says, I want nothing but the best for my brother or sister in Christ. And I want them to know that. I want them to feel that. I want them to believe that. I don't want them to have to worry about how I feel about them. I don't want to come across in any way that they might question whether or not I really and truly love them. That's what I mean whenever I talk about an intimate love that we must have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. For friends, also, as we look in making illustration to the commandment, loving one another as Jesus loves takes an initiative. Note what He says in the context. I've read this before, but I'll be quite honest with you, until I started looking at it to develop it out, these points had not really jumped out at me. And they're just so amazing as to what's there. What does Jesus say? Note what He says. Loving as Jesus loves takes an initiative. You did not choose me. I chose you. And friends, not only is that true with them, it's true with all of us. He's chosen all of humanity. Whosoever will may come. And we look at that and we say, wow, I was lost in sin. And still at the same time, He chose us to die for us, to give us a means of redemption so that we can have our sins forgiven and to live in hope and anticipation of His return, to dwell eternally in heaven with our God someday. And what's our response to that? I'm reminded of what we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. And I get all wrapped up in this with my heart, I'm sorry. We love Him because He first loved us. He took the initiative to love us in the state of which we were in so that we would not have to be lost. And I look at that where He says, I chose you. He says, I took the steps that were necessary to show, to express my love in the greatest ways. What's in this context? We've already said it, but let's see it again. Love one another as I have loved you. Are we taking the initiative as a Christian to let our brothers and sisters in Christ really and truly know how much we love them, how much they mean to us? Are we going out of our way to let one another know how much we really and truly adore one another because of our relationship in Jesus Christ and with our Heavenly Father? You see in this context too, as we think about illustrating it, loving one another as Jesus loves bears much fruit. Going back to what is said in John chapter 13, even over in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. If we are united as what God is united, if we love as what God is loved, or as God loves us, then what's going to be the effect of that? The world's going to know that we are indeed His disciples. And whenever the world sees that we are His disciples, what ought that to do to the world? It has a drawing effect. That's what God sees, and that's what God, I believe, wants us to understand, is that whenever people see that we are genuine, that we are not only lovers of God, but that we are lovers of one another, and that we are lovers of souls who are outside of Christ, is that hopefully, is that prayerfully, is that every day that we strive to engage with people who are outside of Christ and they see the love that we have within us, is that much fruit may come forth off of that. Friends, God has a reward for us in heaven of which I cannot wait to be a recipient of. Many of our elderly and a few others, even not so elderly, have passed on. And they've gone on to that great and glorious reward. And I can't wait to be back with them someday in heaven. But at the same time, there are so many more out there who need salvation as well. And for that reason, I hope and I pray that the love that I have for you is not only seen and felt by you. I hope that it is. And if not, please let me know. But I also hope and pray is that the world will see that and that it will have an impact upon them. And I want the same for each and every one of you. Christians make better lovers because we have the greatest example of all, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, let's do all that is within our power to do to love as He loves us, to the glory and honor of God each and every day. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you with His calling.